From the Financial Times in London, I'm Hugh Carnegie, and this is FT News. The Bank of England launched a new £70 billion bond buying programme this week as part of its effort to cushion an expected slowdown in the economy caused by the British vote in June to quit the European Union. This latest bout of so-called quantitative easing has had a dramatic effect on financial markets, with yields on some UK government bonds, known as gilts, turning negative for only the second time in history on Wednesday. With me to explain what happened and why it matters are the FT's markets editor Michael McKenzie and FT economics writer Martin Sanbu. Michael, let's start with you. What exactly is the Bank of England trying to achieve here?
Well, with quantitative easing, it essentially amounts to the Bank of England coming in at regular times and buying up gilts, lots of bonds. They're also going to be buying up to £10 billion of corporate debt issued by companies here in the UK over the next 6 months, along with £60 billion in government securities. And it's designed to lower borrowing costs across the curve in terms of from sort of 5 years, 10 years and 30 years and even longer. So last week, for example, after the Bank of England announced this move, we saw Vodafone come in and sell 40-year debt at a much lower yield than the 33-year debt it had sold the prior week. So from that perspective, quantitative easing works because it lowers the borrowing costs for companies, and therefore that is seen encouraging investment and spending.
So, Martin, is this action going to have the desired effect on the real economy? And aren't there some bad side effects of all of this for banks and particularly for pensions?
Well, let's start by trying to explain what the Bank of England is trying to achieve in the real economy. So, as Michael explained, they are going out essentially on a shopping spree, which they will try to change the prices in the market, basically the costs of borrowing for individuals, for companies and for the government. And what they are really trying to do is to get spending to increase. Why are they doing that? Well, it's because the shock of the referendum will have caused uncertainty. It means that the trading relations of the country will very probably be disrupted. So there are a lot of bad news in the pipeline, and the Bank of England thinks that that is cutting people's spending back today. And one person's spending is another person's income. So they want to stop this downward spiral that happens if everyone stops spending money and starts just saving right away. So they do that by trying to drive down borrowing costs, driving down interest rates, and the hope is that that will offset some of the uncertainty. So people say, well, actually, my mortgage is becoming cheaper, business investment is becoming cheaper, let's go out and spend a bit more, and that will mitigate the effect.
Central banks in many different countries have been doing this over the last few years. What's the evidence that it's working?
Well, it's a bit mixed, in my view, in the sense that things haven't worked as well as we'd hoped, right? Growth is still slower than we'd hoped. It's much better than it was a couple of years ago. So opinion is divided between whether the medicine isn't working, so we should try something else, or the medicine is working, but we should increase the dosage. I personally believe the latter. So I think what the Bank of England is doing now will probably have some effect. What the Bank of England has been very clear about is that they can only try to boost demand. The supply side of the economy, the efficiency, the amount that the UK economy can produce, that's not something monetary policy can deal with.
But we've seen banks, for example, are saying, hey, this is all going too far. It's playing havoc with the bank's earnings. And we're having a lot of trouble in the UK with the effect that it's having on pension schemes.
That's true. There is that worry. And the Bank of England is very much alert to that. You see the same debate in the Eurozone, where they have gone into negative interest rates and have been buying assets in the same way for the last year, year and a half. Now, so far, there's more of a fear than a reality. There's been some squeeze on the margins of banks, but net interest incomes have held up reasonably well. So this is more a worry about what could happen next. Is it going to destroy the business model of banks? What central banks are trying to do is to complement these stimulative measures with other things that will basically safeguard the viability of banks. So the Bank of England, on the same day that it cut the interest rate and launched this new program of bond buying, also introduced something they call the term funding scheme, a way for banks to borrow very cheaply from the Bank of England, and they can make a profit on how they invest those borrowed funds, as long as they don't cut lending to the real economy. So, you know, if you want to be a bit tart about it, you'd say that the Bank of England is bribing the banks.
Right.
So that they will carry through the stimulus that the Bank of England is trying to put through.
Okay, let me bring Michael back in. The other thing that we've seen this week is a lot of pain from pension funds because of what's happening.
Yes, we have. I mean, this is one of the interesting aspects. On the second day of the QE program Tuesday of this week, the Bank of England tried to come in and buy long-dated bonds, and they weren't able to buy enough that they wanted to buy. And the simple reason for this was because the holders of long-term gilts are pension plans and longer-term investors who have bought these gilts at much higher yields to match their long-term liabilities. They are less willing to sell, no matter given the fact that we've seen a substantial capital gain in gilts thanks to the sharp drop in yields and rise in prices since the post-Brexit vote. They're unwilling to sell because they've already locked away these bonds. They are your classic buy-and-hold investor. And the problem they really have here is if they were to sell to the Bank of England, they would reap a nice capital gain. However, their problem is, what do you do with your money now? Because guess what? Yields have dropped so much, so fast in the last 3 or 4 weeks that the alternatives simply aren't there. And even if you hold cash, you're only going to get paid 0.25%.
So if the banks are a little bit unhappy about all of this, and we know they hold a lot of bonds, and the pension funds are unhappy about all this, and they hold a lot of bonds, are the financial markets going to continue to support the Bank of England's QE program?
Well, yes, because essentially QE is a bit like the Don Corleone school of negotiation. You make people an offer they can't refuse. Now, for people who hold shorter-dated gilts like the 10-year or the 5-year, these are hedge funds, mutual funds. If the Bank of England comes in and offers them a nice, you know, a high enough price, they will sell and they'll make a profit. And that's why I think a lot of the moves you've seen in gilts this week is a degree of front-running from the market. The market's anticipating that the Bank of England's program will work. They will end up buying a lot of gilts, and they're going to really pull down borrowing costs, which means prices go up and holders of gilts are making money, and they're going to make money on this trade.
Okay. Now, Martin, just to finish up, can you put this a little bit in the international context? We've talked a lot, obviously, about the Bank of England and what's going on in Britain, but put this in the broader international context of the global economy.
The interesting thing here is that, in a sense, the Bank of England is returning to the broader fold here. Just think, a few months back, really the only major central bank in the world that was looking towards tightening rather than loosening monetary policy was the Federal Reserve in the US. And the Bank of England, at one point, was clearly looking more towards tightening as well rather than loosening. The referendum clearly changed all that. And the Bank of England is now looking much more like either the Bank of Japan or the European Central Bank, both of which are easing more aggressively than the Bank of England is doing and are thinking about doing even more. So in a sense, the Bank of England or the UK have suddenly turned a bit more Japanese and European. We don't know what's going to happen in the US. Remember, the US Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, tried to start a tightening cycle last year and then immediately had to stop it because the economy weakened. So for now, it's the Federal Reserve that's the odd one out, and the Bank of England has aligned itself with all the other major central banks in the world.
Michael and Martin, thank you very much indeed.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.